At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Because JKR got bored on the train. Thank you, Aaron, Grace, and Sarah. This is MuggleCast episode 59 for October 14th, 2006. See why GoDaddy.com is the number one domain registrar worldwide. Now with your domain name registration, you'll get hosting, a free blog, complete email, and much more. Plus, as a MuggleCast listener, enter code RON, that's R-O-N, when you check out, and get your .com domain name for just $6.95 a year. Get your piece of the internet today at GoDaddy.com.
This magic is a manifestation of the mind. The Amortentra made manifestation of the requirement of arousing among a masterly muscle man and a magic monster, the men and women of matchless mystical merit. Unfortunately, most members of mankind miscarry the mirth and message of miraculous building for a mythical memoirs of macabre and malicious microscoping money from America to Majora macerate when minus mystical merriment and examination. The main medicine is Michael's class, the montage of mad modulations of Michael's with mutual mania for the imagination of a momentous mother, maker of modern mabinogine. This mostly male and immature miscellany when emblematic are named Micah, Andrew, Ben, Kevin, Eric, Jamie, and Laura, and I'm Jamie Lawrence.
I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Kevin Steck.
I'm Laura Thompson.
And I'm Micah Tanaka.
And I'm tired after
that.
I wrote
that for you, Jamie.
That was...
Wow, you did the first time.
No, Stephanie. That was Stephanie. Thank you, Stephanie.
We're back for another week of MuggleCast. No Ben this week, unfortunately.
Sorry, so Eric, you say unfortunately. I just heard you there, Reggie. I'm joking, Ben. I love you, Ben.
I think Laura Marillery actually got to him.
Yeah. Oh. Literally, she got to him. Killed him.
Yeah. Eric Skull. You know, New Zealand, California, Vegas,
New York,
wherever else he went.
Chicago.
New York. It wasn't enough. He's in Chicago this week.
I think you said Miami's next, right, Andrew?
Oh, yeah, really? Miami, yeah, at this rate.
What, he's actually going this now, as in after Chicago?
Yes, okay. Jamie. Yes, he's going to Miami.
Yeah, it's a cross-country tour.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
I know.
Considering he goes halfway around the world every single week. And
hey, you know what? I think
that
I think everybody should write to the MuggleCast email saying where they think Eric will go next.
Yeah.
Where is Eric?
A free t-shirt if you guess the city, hotel, time, place.
It's a twist on Where's Waldo.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I have a feeling he'll be done after the Chicago trip.
But, Kevin, you could spot Eric really easily because he'd just be wearing his Hogwarts robes on the photo.
That's true.
It'd be easy to spot.
Oh, that's speaking true. Of Hogwarts robes, we got to talk about what we're all going to be for Halloween, because I know what I'm going to be, and all of you could probably guess.
What?
But first,
Bono.
No, not Bono. That's a good idea. No, not Bono. But first, Micah Tanenbaum, you have the past week's top Harry Potter news stories.
The Portuguese Harry Potter translator Isabella Nunes has reportedly confirmed in an interview with a Portuguese fan site that RAB does indeed stand for Regulus Arcturus Black. Apparently, before Book 6 hit shelves, she contacted Joe about the character's gender and was told the full name as well as the gender. A reason for shedding light on the topic at this point is to keep awake the excitement for the 7th book. In the past, Nunes also clarified that Blaise Zabini is a man and Professor Sinistra is a woman. Last month, we told you about a new cover for Quidditch Through the Ages, included in the Harry Potter Schoolbooks box set, along with Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Now the cover for the latter has emerged online. Both books benefit UK charity Comic Relief and can be purchased on Amazon.com. Shameless plug. In movie news, a recent breakthrough in film technology developed by Image Metrics allows a computer to map an actor's performance onto any character, virtual or human, living or dead. The developers say it is far superior to standard hand-drawn computer graphics, which are very costly and time-consuming. Warner Brothers will use this technology in the depiction of Grawp, played by Tony Maudsley in Order of the Phoenix, which will surely bring Hagrid's giant half-brother to life. While in New York City for the premiere of his new film Driving Lessons, Rupert Grint sat down for a chat with AM New York, where he discussed filming on Order of the Phoenix. He said they shot the Thestral scenes recently and that it was a really good time because they had to make a mold, a specially made harness that goes under your legs because in the film, it has to be invisible. They put you on this crane and lifted you up in the air. That's been my favorite scene so far. Speaking of the fifth film, the first theatrical teaser trailer for Order of the Phoenix will be released Friday, November 17th in front of the WB film Happy Feet. And additional information has emerged this week on Daniel Radcliffe's appearance as Alan Strang in the London West End play Equis. Apparently 60 audience members will be seated on the stage itself, with the rest in the stalls and circle. The play, written by Peter Schaffer, will run in the round for 16 weeks. Previews will begin on February 16th, and the official opening is scheduled for the 27th. Rehearsals will commence January 3rd. And tied into a topic we mentioned on last week's show, finally, the online hangout MySpace.com will organize 20 concerts featuring bands promoted on its site as part of a campaign to raise awareness and money for humanitarian relief in Sudan. We'll have complete information on this in the show notes. That's all the news for this October 14th, 2006 edition of MuggleCast. Back to the show.
Okay, thank you, Micah. Anyway, guys, Halloween. What are you all going to be for Halloween?
What am I going to be for Halloween, Andrew? I'm going to be a Target employee.
Oh.
Because that's what I'm doing on Halloween.
That sounds
Yay,
real interesting.
Me.
What is that, a nice red polo shirt with a little Target
Yeah, with
logo
my
on
lame
there?
Khaki pants.
Your khaki pants, yeah.
I was thinking a belligerent college student. What do you think?
I was expecting you to be Bill Gates, actually.
Yeah. I'm going to be boring. I'm going to stay in and I'm just going to drop kick people's pumpkins when they ask me for treats.
So he's going to be
You're not going to steal their candy.
No, I am. You know, you should learn that life is a complete disappointment early in life, you know? You shouldn't have to wait until you're like a teenager or older. So when they come round, I'm going to steal their candy, drop kick their pumpkins and tell them that if they ever come back here again, I'm going to sort them out. Yeah, I'm sorting them out, you know.
Michael, what are you going to be for Halloween?
I don't know. I don't think I could top Jamie's stealing candy from children. But
just do the same then.
Just do the same.
Yeah, I would. Laura, that's wrong when you say you can't be too old for Halloween.
You're never too old for Halloween.
That's not true. If you're 110 and you can't move, you should not be dressing up as a vampire and going around for candy.
Excuse me, Jamie. If you're 110, yeah? Then Halloween's the perfect holiday for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You don't have to dress up.
It's true, yeah.
Although, I'm sure... No, no, no. Come on. I think you can be
no,
too old
wrong.
For it.
I don't think you can.
Hey, Halloween... It's I'll like remind when, you all. Halloween is J.K. Rowling's favorite holiday. So, you can never be
Well, that doesn't mean you can't... That's good, but it doesn't mean you can't be too old for it.
I never said... I said you can't be too old for Halloween. It's an awesome holiday.
I'm not going to be going trick-or-treating.
Well, it doesn't mean you have to trick-or-treat.
I'm a little too old for that, yeah. Well, I'm going
to
be...
What else are you meant to do, then?
Everyone in my school, like, you know, everyone I was sort of outed this year with the whole Harry Potter thing, so I'm going to be Harry Potter.
Really?
Really?
No cloak.
Do you remember last year when people dressed up as us?
Yeah,
no,
we had that contest.
Oh yeah,
wasn't that weird?
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But I'm going to be hosting the morning show program that we do, and we have to dress up. And me and my friend, and I'm going to be Harry Potter. I'm going to wear the vested. What?
Doesn't being Harry Potter just involve drawing a scar and putting on some glasses?
Scarf.
That's what everyone seems.
Well, not scarf. Yeah, scar, glasses. I'm going to wear the gray vest.
Dye your hair black as well.
The tie, the white undershirt.
Yeah, Andrew, do you have...
The black pants.
Do you have the Triwizard Cup still? You can bring that around.
Yeah.
The one you were supposed to give away like 3 months ago.
I don't know what you're talking about, Kevin.
Okay. I was actually hired to work on MuggleNet on Halloween. So this Halloween's going to be my 2-year anniversary. Yes.
That was a sad day in MuggleNet history.
It's been downhill from there.
Yeah.
Anyway...
What they'll say.
Let's get people up to date here with some things we're doing around the podcast. We have the new website up. Hopefully everyone's enjoyed that. We've gotten a lot of good feedback about it. We're
Even
working on
the
comments
don't work.
Yeah, we're working on that. It's a MuggleNet server issue. It's not really our fault. And also every week we're going to be making a roundup post. That'll basically go over what the feedback was of the previous week's show. And Lord, the first one for episode 58. And without the comments, we have no way of telling people
if you
liked
guys
it or
actually
not.
Liked it.
Yeah.
So if you guys hated it, just write me and tell me you hated it, and
it'll just be a good way of, you know, keeping the site fresh and going over some people's feedback. Mikey, you got an update about the transcripts?
Yeah.
The database is finally up to date after a couple of months. I think since about the summertime, we've had some problems getting things up to you guys in a timely fashion, but everything should start to be, you know, moving along smoothly. We have a lot of stuff going on right now. We're still working on LA with Leaky and episode 58 and now 57 and now 59, so we might get backed up a little
bit.
But I want to take just a moment to thank everyone. This is going to be like one of Jamie's V for Vendetta lists right here. Because there are a lot of people. But just to thank the transcribers, I'm just going to go through the list real quick. Shelly, Shannon, Sarah, Roni, Megan, Marty, Mandy, Judy, Jessica, Amanda, Allie, Adrian, Matthew. And then we have three editors, Margaret, Eloise, and Allison. And we just added two this week, Samantha and Brianna. So thanks,
thank
you guys.
Thank you. Look at this team Micah has built. You've done an excellent
Micah.
Job, Micah.
To think that I used to do the episodes all by myself.
You know, I meant to tell you this the other day. I was thinking about this for some reason before I went to bed one night. I was just thinking about how great it was. Best idea we ever had to hire Micah. Seriously.
Thank you.
Thanks, Micah.
It's like a sweatshop.
Think about Micah every night before you go to sleep.
Yeah, I do.
I certainly do, so, you know, there's no shame in it.
I have a picture of him on my nightstand today.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, that's kind of creepy.
Weird,
I've got seven.
Also, MuggleCast t-shirts, we haven't done this in a while. We have some new MuggleCast t-shirt designs, and I don't think we've plugged them at all on the show. So go to MuggleCast.com and click on store at the link, or store at the top. And is it called store or shop?
One of them. It's one of them.
Store. It's called store. And
just go to either.
Pick up these great new t-shirt designs. They are really cool. I saw one. I saw the first one at the Live Leaky Mug. Someone was wearing it. And it's very nice. It's a MuggleCast Crest t-shirt. Then we also have the Lumo shirts up for sale. And we're working on one more design, which should be out around Christmas. But for now, purchase your MuggleCast t-shirt today. Help support the show. Thank you very much.
I agree.
Also, after much skepticism, complaints, berates, it just hurts so much. Episode 57 is finally released, 4 weeks late, but hey, it's out.
It's still out.
It's a bit of a mess. I had to record the second half of the show again with my voice because I lost the audio file, and it's not a bad show actually. So we didn't make a news post on MuggleNet. We will with this new episode, but. So check that out. Sorry for the delay.
Yeah, they made you cry, didn't they, Andrew?
Wow.
Yeah, all these people are complaining about how we were just doing it to keep up with Pottercast and all this nonsense. It was
how
just
dare
because
they?
If you listen to 57, you will see it's a very dated show. And that's why the title of the show, in fact, is called MuggleCast 57, This Show is Outdated. So,
good title.
Yeah. So,
that's the one we recorded before LA, right?
Right before the trip.
Yeah.
Jamie, you got the
frogs have. Huh?
You got the RSVP thing? It's yours, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, before I do, I'd just like to say that chocolate frogs have furious fights over who gets to be in the box with a Dumbledore card.
That was pretty good.
From Phoebe16 from Texas, thank you. Okay, the RSVP thing. Okay, somebody, I can't remember who because the email got deleted, so I'm sorry, wrote in to point out that I had been mispronouncing RSVP, not the actual abbreviation, but the actual thing. I was saying it Responde Silverplay, and there's an S in there, so it's Responde Silverplay. Well done to them for spotting out my deliberate error and for pointing it out. So yeah, well done. Because I did do that on purpose just to test who was listening and who was scratching
sure.
their French. Oh, by the way, so instead of doing an actual segment for the Dumbledore Chuck Norris facts, I thought I'd just put them in whenever there's an awkward silence or a small gap or something like that. So let me know if you like that more.
Okay. We also have a listener rebuttal this week, and then we'll get into our main discussion. This comes from Valerie, 16, of New York, and she just wanted to clear up a little mistake we made on episode 58.
I have a rebuttal regarding the veil on episode 58. You mentioned that Ginny could have heard, quote, beyond the veil because she saw Riddle die. This theory isn't possible because a few pages earlier it was stated that she couldn't see the Thestrals, so she couldn't have seen death. A lot of people brought this up to us, and it's true, but the Eternal Optimist could always say, well, gee,
no,
maybe
Valerie's
she was just
right.
Pretending. Yeah, I know, she's right. I'm just
Thank
trying
you,
to
Valerie.
Cover it. So, with that said...
So wait, the even the Eternal Optimist would be screwed in this regard, then, completely.
Yeah, yeah. But with that said, we should revise what the conclusion that we made last week, which is, in order to hear voices from the Veil, you have to have seen death.
I don't think so.
But now we're... Yeah. But
I
now the general
disagree.
Consensus... I know. Wait, you weren't on the show last week, right?
No, yeah, I was, but you guys were. Kept saying that it was death, and I was saying that Ginny had never seen anyone die.
Yeah,
you
she
did
says
say
that?
That
now. She says
you
that.
Didn't say that,
okay.
Yeah.
Yes,
you
I
did not say
go
that.
Go back and listen to the show. I said right, Ginny's never did. Seen anyone die. Therefore,
right. She's taking all the credit for Valerie's hard work, Andrew, here. Oh, shame.
When the transcript's released tomorrow, we'll go back and we'll take a look.
No, I
see.
Can tell you exactly what I
she
said.
She probably did. She probably did.
I
yeah,
said,
did.
No one.
We don't know if Ginny's seen anyone die, so there's got to be a different common link between those four people.
No one brought up the Thestrals, though. That was the mistake that we made. Saying that
the
Ginny couldn't
that you made,
see
the
Thestrals.
Not me.
Okay, sorry.
Just kidding, Andrew.
So now, thinking about it, it could be a near-death experience. Because Ginny was in a near-death experience in the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah, that was actually in the roundup that I posted, that one listener thought that because she thought that maybe it was traumatic experiences that made them more vulnerable to the Veil's
power.
Attraction.
So you're saying Ron and Hermione have never experienced a traumatic
I'm not
event.
Saying that. I'm saying listener feedback. And see, it kind of brings into question what would the level of trauma have to be?
Consider, yeah.
It's like, yeah, Ron, you almost died when you were 11 years old. That doesn't count, you know? So.
Yeah.
All right. So this week we're going to talk about the Department... Well, no. This is continuing our series about the Department of Mysteries. Today we're going to be talking about... Time! Ben's not here to sing it with me either.
What song is it?
You're all alone, Andrew.
City of Blinding Lights by U2. Hey.
Oh, boy.
Why... What does time have to do with that? Or is it... Or did you just say time in the theme of City of Blinding Lights?
He applies every
well,
word.
That's what we're talking about. We're talking about time. Right. And in the song, they sing, time, time won't leave me as I am, time taking the boy out of this man. Okay. Anyway, Jamie, go for it.
Well, okay, time's an extremely interesting topic because it has been the sort of subject of, you know, a great deal of science fiction, films, fantasy novels, and, you know, it's something you can't really explain. It's very complicated, very intense topic, and even for the most powerful of wizards and witches, when messed with, it can have dire consequences. So, and especially when it comes down to the Department of Mysteries and time, because... obviously, the Ministry of Magic isn't, you know, completely, you know, what's the word? What's the opposite of corrupt? Sorry, what's the opposite of non-corrupt? Corrupt. Yeah.
Congratulations, Jamie.
Thank you. Fine. So, the Ministry of Magic isn't completely non-corrupt. So, you know, time when placed into the hands of a bad person like Voldemort could be very, very deadly. So, let's talk about time. Let's start off with our first question. How much control does the Ministry have over time, and time meddling, more specifically? And the first bit of that is, it took a long, long time for Hermione to get the Time Turner in Prisoner of Azkaban, and it seems because of this that the Ministry has strict controls, but maybe, like other Ministry-related things, they are open to outside control. What do you guys think?
Well, do you think that they were monitoring anything that Hermione was doing with the Time Turner?
You mean like tracking what she was doing?
Yeah, because, I mean, it seems like if they really wanted to make sure that it wasn't being abused,
they would.
But at the same time, no one's ever said anything to the trio about going back and saving Sirius.
Well, exactly. You'd think that they'd restrict it so she couldn't just go back, you know, 10 years and change stuff that she wanted to, but I'm sure they wouldn't allow her to go back and rescue Sirius, as you say, so perhaps they don't. Perhaps the tests are before she gets it, and then once they're satisfied, she won't use it for anything bad. They give her free rein over it. Although that does seem a bit, you know,
reckless.
It's
kind of dangerous, though. But I mean, again, it's something they would do.
Yeah, no, it is.
I'm actually rereading Prisoner of Azkaban right now, but I don't remember. Does the Ministry know that she has the time turner?
Yeah, they do,
definitely.
Yeah, she said that McGonagall had to write tons and tons of letters to get it for
her. So maybe they just have to convince, well, McGonagall just had to convince the Ministry that she could be trusted enough to do this.
Now, do you think the Ministry is the only one with time turners?
Well, exactly. They're like, surely you can get one. You can't, you know.
See,
and where do they get them from? Do they make them or are they natural? Or
the thing is...
What, do they just pop out of the ground, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Like flowers?
Yes, yes.
They grow on trees.
They have time turner trees, and you just pluck one off and, you know, wind it back and you're fine.
When it's ripe, of course.
See, the thing is about the time turner that I never really liked was that they were able to see themselves in the past, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Which...
No,
I mean,
that,
why don't you like it?
Well,
explain.
No, the reason why I don't like it is this. If you, when you're visualizing time, if you go back in time, right, and kill yourself, right, you would never have had the opportunity to go back in time in the first place.
No, Kevin, stop trying to show off, okay? Anyone can get this from Wikipedia,
well, that's why,
okay?
That's why you don't go back in time and kill yourself.
No, but what I'm saying is...
The point he's trying to say is you can't go back in time and kill yourself because you couldn't... Because if you went back in time and killed yourself, you couldn't go back in time and kill yourself.
Exactly, and then you'd...
But that has absolutely nothing to do with Harry Potter.
No, I make a point. This is my point.
That's not necessarily true, though. I mean, it depends on...
It is. Of course it is.
...on what the limitations of time are. No, because in the books, doesn't it work in a loop? It would just keep going and going and going?
But if you decided now to go back 10 years... Huh?
Okay, how about this?
Just like the Energizer
Bunny. Instead of saying kill yourself, if you're... Going back in time results in your death indirectly.
Then
it becomes a paradox.
Yeah, then it precludes your existence.
And
because...
what I'm saying is, are even the dark wizards willing to go back in time knowing the risks involved in doing so?
But Kevin, you can't... If you go back in time, then you can't die. Because if you died, then you wouldn't be there to go back in time. So your mission is automatically a success if you go back in time. Do you see what I mean? Well, no, it's not automatically a success, but you come back. You definitely come back.
It depends on your view of time. If it's a linear time as opposed to, like, a quantum time where there's...
Yeah, I definitely... Right, you've lost me absolutely completely already.
What I'm saying is there's different ways of viewing time. One in a linear fashion or one in like the quantum physics fashion where by going back in time you have just created a new timeline where different things can happen.
Oh, right, I see.
So
that's what I'm saying, though. I mean, I'm kind of under the impression that time in Harry Potter is circular. Like, for instance...
It's like linear where...
Well, okay, let me explain. You know how in the Prisoner of Azkaban movie, and I think I don't often like to cite the movies because I often feel that they're incorrect, but you know how at the end when Harry and Hermione come running back and they open the doors and they see themselves disappear? I believe that the versions of themselves that just disappeared would come running back again and see themselves disappear again. Like, it keeps going and going. So, like, even if you do kill yourself, it just happens over and over and over again.
Which is a paradox.
You know, but surely, Kevin, the time in Harry Potter is one where you don't... create a new timeline because Dumbledore says that they've got to be back in the hospital wing at a certain time to replace the ones that have just gone. So surely when Dumbledore turned, after he sent Harry and Hermione off to do the thing, he just turned around and they were there and it had been a success already. Isn't that right?
But by different timeline, I'm meaning they affected events, so therefore there is a universe in which they did not go back in time or in which Sirius died, and then there's a universe in which Sirius survived. Let's
discuss this. Do you think that Harry will visit some sort of alternate universe where things are different?
I think that would be a far stretch for the Harry Potter books.
A parallel universe? Tell us about parallel universes.
Let's not.
No. He told us about those in Vegas, remember, actually.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun hearing about that.
I did. But what I'm saying is, my point is do you think that dark wizards would avoid time and time travel because of the implications of making a mistake?
Well, it depends. I think that Voldemort would avoid Voldemort, I think he'd make people do it for him.
Yeah, but even...
Yeah, it's too powerful for him to
But leave, even yeah. then, you have to realize that you can catch yourself in... You can catch, like, time itself in a loop where nothing will
move
forward. Yeah,
that's true. I mean, if one of his followers screwed up...
Exactly. So do you think that Voldemort would actually be willing to take the risk of...
I think he'd trust it to some people.
I think that kind of brings us back to who does regulate time, you know?
It's got to be the ministry.
You can't regulate it, really.
Because you could. That's the thing. You almost wonder if anyone has any sort of view on, you know, of what's going on, if Voldemort would be able to know what was going on, if he would be able to somehow direct a person who had gone back in time to do something, you know? It's difficult.
It is difficult.
Like, you can't exactly send someone a letter telling them what to do if they've come back in time.
Yeah, it's true.
I think we're confusing this.
Well, it's a very confusing subject. And also, is there a limitation on how far back in time you can go?
I don't think so. I never got that impression.
So, you're saying that Hermione could have taken the time turner, flipped the time turner a million times. Yeah, gone back to right before Harry's parents were killed and saved their lives.
Yeah. Not necessarily save their lives, but then again, she'd have to live through those 16 or 13, 14 years. She couldn't just, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You can't go forward in time. But I'm under the impression that she couldn't do that because if she'd done that, Harry's parents would be alive now. I know that you're saying that you can have different timelines.
It's hypothetical,
I don't think that's
though.
The case in
I think Kevin's
in
just trying
Potter.
To make a point.
Yeah, I mean, my point is that the repercussions of changing anything in the past are so great that, you know, the smallest thing, if you push one person out of the way of a moving car, right, that person surviving could change everything.
Yeah, they could go.
Well, then, do you think that maybe the trio accidentally changed something that seems so minute in the third book, and it's going to come up in the seventh book, and it's going to make everything even more difficult?
Like,
I don't have any specific examples. I'm just saying, Kevin
Instead
brings
of
up
turning
a...
the light off. They left it on.
Yeah, you know,
the light bulb
burst.
Someone
did
trip.
To go up
someone
and change the light bulb.
Didn't hit their
which
head.
Which triggered Draco.
Exactly.
Oh, come on, I was on a roll, Kevin. But there's no light bulbs in Hogwarts, so that sort of doesn't work out.
Should we move on to the next one? Can they monitor when someone has changed time, or have we done that? Perhaps, actually, think about it. Would you think that's like they can tell where magic has been?
Like a resonance, it leaves
some
sort of...
They can't tell who by. Yeah. Perhaps it's that that they can monitor that somebody has gone back and done something, but they can't tell what. So when they see Hermione going back in Prison of Azkaban, they just think that it's her going back to do her lessons, rather than...
Oh, yeah.
But wait a minute.
But wouldn't they be able to watch or something?
Well, I guess so, but...
That'd be kind of creepy, though, because that would mean they'd be watching her all the time.
Well, that's just one of the rules that you have to deal with.
Tune in on, like, channel 415, Hermione, cable.
Whenever they feel like it,
whenever they
Jamie.
Feel like it. But wouldn't she be going to... Wouldn't she be going to one class twice? So, say if at 10 a.m., no, say if at 9, actually, no, yeah, say if at 9 a.m. she's got Muggle studies, yeah? And at 9 a.m. she's got arithmancy. If she went back in time to go to arithmancy, wouldn't she be
Then she's in Muggle
void?
Studies again.
No, well, she, yeah. no, she wouldn't be in Muggle studies, though, because she'd be in arithmancy. So, as Kevin says, there have got to be two different things of time.
God,
this
is so confusing.
They aren't parallel. They've got to catch up.
That's
at some
what I'm
point.
Saying, yeah.
See what I mean? Because if she goes back in time to go to one at 9 a.m., she can't be in two places at once. So she's got to be missing from one, unless it's two different periods of time. Does that make sense?
But remember what Harry and Ron were saying. They saw her in class. So what she probably did was she went to class, went back in time, and went to another class. So she technically was in two places at once until the point at which she had
use at it, which they coincide.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about that, because if, say, she weren't in one class whenever she went to the other, there'd be no point in saying you can't be seen. You know?
Well, yeah, I guess, but...
You're still going to run across yourself. And wasn't there one point in the book where Hermione was walking with them and she suddenly disappeared and was at the bottom of the stairs?
Yeah. You'd think she'd be a bit more subtle. She isn't just walking along and disappear, you know? You think she'd go into the toilet like Superman and, you know, turn the toilet.
Yeah, but what if they just run across one of her past selves and she just disappeared?
No. Or if she's this can't go into the show, really, but if she goes into the toilet and she turns the time back and somebody's in there taking it, she just lands on top of it.
But I don't... I don't think they can monitor the changing of time, just because they would be able to know exactly what happened that night. They know that Sirius was freed somehow.
It's true, yeah.
And if they knew...
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Sorry.
Well, clearly the Ministry doesn't know, because Fudge had no clue. He was just pointing
Fudge
fingers,
never has
so...
a clue.
I know, but if the Ministry did know, then Fudge would know, you know? They would... obviously tell him, hopefully.
But there was Ministry presence that was there, though. Wasn't there that night? Because the Dementors were going to perform the kiss.
Well, Fudge was there.
Right.
Fudge came.
So you would think that if they knew Hermione used the time turner at this time during the day to go back
exactly.
in time, that they would have connected the two events.
Yeah, it's true.
So obviously they can't even monitor when she uses it.
No, yeah.
Maybe that's part of why it's so such a problem to entrust it into even a student that is under the watch of professors.
I don't know. I just think if they're issued by the Ministry, you would think they would take their responsibility of tracking what people are doing with them.
I
mean,
hope so. Yeah.
I doubt when they were trying to figure out how Sirius escaped. I don't think the first thing they checked was Hermione's. Time turner.
No, but then again, this is the same. This is the same group of people that put Dementors as guards on a prison. You know, creatures that are known to serve Lord Voldemort. They're putting in charge of his followers. It just doesn't seem like they'd be all that intelligent when it came to how they ran things.
Right.
Especially time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean that would explain why they wouldn't check Hermione.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure you can check, though. I mean, I'm just not sure I believe that it's like you can log into whatever and, you know, check to see Hermione change time at 4:52 p.m., you know?
Yeah, it's true.
Well, maybe not, but I don't know. If you could track magic, well, we'll get into this more later.
Oh, my
when
God.
We're talking
my
about
head is
how.
Spinning.
I think it's good. So just...
Okay. Number two, can anyone with the right tools change time, or do you need magic in you like you need magic when using a wand, because the wand just channels the magic?
We hadn't... Andrew and I had an interesting discussion about this the other day.
And then I stopped it, because I was like, save it for the show!
Yeah.
But...
No. Basically, we were kind of talking about, could a muggle or a squib use a time turner? Because I'm not necessarily sure they could, but my point was that a wand isn't really a source of magic. It channels the magic from its owner. A time turner is actually magical itself. So would...
Well, we think it is.
Well, it's gotta be. It's changing time. It's not the wizard that's changing time.
No, but it could... No, but it...
Well, I mean, the wizard does, but...
Magic
the wizard
could
be
put into it, you know. That's...
Right, right. The same
no,
way...
No, that's not true, though, because remember in Order of the Phoenix, whenever they knocked over the time turners and they kept reappearing and falling back over by themselves? So it wasn't magic that...
Yeah, but
that was
just...
put into them. They were fixing themselves and...
Well, there
again.
has to be some magic in them, but you might also need the wizard's magic, which I thought that's what you were telling me the other day.
No. I was saying that you need a wizard's magic to use a wand, but I'm not necessarily sure you need a wizard's magic to use a time turner.
When you say change time, do you mean specifically with a time turner, or is there another way that you're talking about?
Well, we know that we've seen another method of time in the Department of Mysteries, where that one Death Eater fell into the bell jar and it caused his head to become that of a baby's. And it was kind of different because it wasn't really changing time. It was
changing
making
reverting,
him younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was it was making him younger, and it was also a lot faster. Whereas with the Time Turner, you actually have to live back through all of those events over again. With the Bell Jar, he was going back and forth between being a baby and being a Death Eater within seconds.
Yeah. Well, I think if a Muggle or a Squib got a hold of a Time Turner and they just turned it a little bit, something might happen.
This is so tough, this stuff.
It really is, yeah.
Now I know how.
I need some infantile humor to,
do you remember,
to take away from the seriousness.
If you'll remember on the Prisoner of Azkaban DVD, where Alfonso Cuarón was trying to explain the whole time cycle and he couldn't.
Really?
Now I know how he feels. Because it's like.
Yeah, but it's Cavro Spanish movies, so you know, we've got to give him something.
Yeah. Wasn't Joe sitting with him, or was that a separate interview?
Yeah, Joe was sitting with
him. Did she try to explain it at all?
No, she just looked at him and she was like, yeah, it is very hard. Oh. She basically gave him that look like, yeah.
I wonder if the Bell Jar, like how does it, the baby, how young was the baby? Was it a week old, a month old?
I don't know, it just said baby.
What determines how far back it brings you?
Apparently, I mean, we saw in the Bell Jar that wasn't there an egg in there? And as it floated to the top, it turned into a bird or something. And then as it went back down to the bottom, it would turn back into an egg. So I think it probably takes you back to the earliest, you know, form of life, I suppose.
No, because the earliest form of life for a baby.
I knew this was coming. I didn't want to bring this up because then it gets into the whole topic of when does life start and we don't need to go there.
Yeah,
which
true.
Came first,
point.
Chicken or the egg?
Oh, Andrew, there's an easy answer to this. It's clearly the egg.
Yeah.
Because evolution says that, you know, there has to be something before a chicken, before something evolved into a chicken. So the one stage before a chicken, that thing laid an egg, and then that hatched into a chicken.
But what
so
laid an egg?
a chicken minus one.
Well, that's like saying a mother came along and gave birth to Adam and Eve.
No, he's right. He's right, Andrew. Whatever came before the chicken, whatever the chicken's ancestor is, laid the egg, and the evolution over time brought us to the chicken.
You guys are such dorks, because anyone else that you ask that, they're just like, ooh, I don't
know. Andrew, look at it like this. If you have... What came first, the snake or the egg? Okay, the egg came first because a snake with one leg laid an egg, and then that hatched into a snake with no legs, which is really a snake. Whereas the snake with one leg isn't really a snake. Do you see?
Yeah.
It's all based on evolution.
If you think about it, humans are slowly evolving. I mean, it's so minimal that each generation has, you know, some sort of small change to them, but it's so just minimal that you can't even notice it. Isn't there some sort of prediction that eventually humans are going to no longer have their pinky finger one day? Humans are only gonna have four fingers.
Oh, that would stink.
So it's like saying, you know, over time, like for instance, the mother who had like a centimeter of her pinky finger that gave birth to the child with no pinky finger.
Well, that's like people say about your appendix. People think that it used to be a second stomach. You ever hear that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, and now
that would have been awesome. You get to Subway and then go back 10 minutes later.
Now it's just ready to cause appendicitis. Burst. Yeah, exactly. But anyway, like what purpose?
How did this come from the egg
floating to the top and then the bird floating down?
Let's move from the bell jar and go to number four.
Hold on. What purpose does the bell jar serve?
I think the bell jar was just an experiment.
Oh, okay.
And the only reason why it went back so as far as it did back to the egg is just probably the way they set up the experiment.
Well, what they're trying to do is probably monitor time change in a very fast setting. So they don't have to sit there watch, you know, a chicken take 4 weeks to grow, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe they did it in case, like, the parents didn't take a picture of the baby when it was a newborn. So, you charge a small fee and you can...
Or they'd forgotten what their first word was, so they were like, well, you know, what? Well, let's just chuck you back into the time and we'll see what you said.
All right, so moving along here.
Okay, number four. Will time feature in book 7? Will the trio use it again to right an injustice? And one from that, how far back in time would the trio go in order to change something? This goes back to what we were talking about, that I don't think they'd ever dare go back to when Harry's parents were alive.
And that's what I was saying about even dark wizards. I don't think anyone would even risk the repercussions that could result
from. It's too unreliable. Way too unreliable.
The further you go back, the more that things can change from a single action, you know? Because it grows off of itself.
Yeah, but that's why I was kind of bringing up, what if they did something so seemingly...
Well, technically they
did. Yeah, but I mean, what if they did something so seemingly unimportant while they were changing time that it's going to come back and bite them in the butt, you know?
Well, it really won't matter because they never had a perspective on what was going to happen in the future anyway. What I'm saying is if you are here now and you go back 5 years... A subtle change there can change the here and now largely. Oh, because they only went back a couple hours, when they did end up getting to their current time, the time at which they had gone back, nothing major had changed. And that's good. But what I'm saying is if you do go back further than that, if you go back years or... you know, hundreds of years.
Millenniums.
The slightest change.
Risk.
One life can make a huge change. And it to the point where when you do catch up with the current time, things can be completely different.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Like, it always scares me. Like, what if there's no Thomas Edison? What if there's no Al Gore? He invented the internet.
What happens if there was no Bono?
What if there's no Bono? Think about that.
But book seven, yeah. I don't think time is going to factor in it at all. I think we saw it in book three, and
I don't know though. I don't.
They're
agree.
Not going to pull out a time turner and be like, "Oh, let's go back in time 5 minutes."
Well,
and
I don't think so.
Make
though,
sure
because...
that Dawlish dies.
There's too many. There's too many questions.
I think
regarding
that it has
it.
To. I mean, something has to happen with it. It might not be. I don't know. I just think that time is too important in these books not to have a place in book seven.
But I think it's a cop-out at the same time to think that they're going to be able to go back in time and correct...
No. I don't think they're going to go back and correct a major event, but I think that there's going to have to be some sort of study of time. It just seems interesting to me. You know, J.K. Rowling put... I don't even know why I'm calling her that. Jo put a huge emphasis on... time in the Department of Mysteries. She had them in that room two or three times, didn't she? I think that Harry is going to go back to the Department of Mysteries. I think he's going to study the veil. I think he's going to study time, and I think he's going to get behind that door.
Why study this stuff though unless you absolutely need
because
it to
it's
you
important.
Think he's going to go to the Department of Mysteries, say, "Hey, I'm here to study the veil."
Yeah.
He's going to go downstairs, take out his book and start writing with his quill.
I don't think it's that kind of study. I think he's going to come back and actually have to do something with it. I think he's going to have to find out exactly what these things are. She would not have introduced us to this place if we weren't going to learn about it.
Could they solve absolutely everything, like eliminate the conflict by going back in time and stopping Snape from overhearing the prophecy?
I don't think they would.
You can't predict what's going to happen by doing that, and I think it would really screw things up. It would not result in the same, you know, outcome, and it would obviously not result in the same outcome, and things would be really screwed up. But for all you know, by not letting Snape hear the prophecy, something else happens that results in Harry's death. And then, oops, now you have Voldemort running around without Harry to stop him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, plus you have to live through 16 years.
Exactly.
And by the time you catch up to yourself, you're not even going to know what's going on. So,
and do you age? That's another question. Do you age in time? Like, would he be 16 years older than he initially was?
So he would go back in time at 16 and then...
I don't see how time can stop you.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's still moving.
It's time. You can't stop yourself from aging.
So he would arrive at 32.
To that, the night of the prophecy, exactly.
Basically, like, let's say that Hermione goes back 100 years. She's going to die before she gets back to where she was.
Yeah.
I know that's not a cheerful thought, but...
So does she stop existing at the time she went back? That's the question.
Yeah.
Kevin, you're twisting my brain here. I can't.
In Prisoner of Azkaban, if they replace themselves that went back in time, doesn't that mean that she'll never catch up to herself that goes back in time, so she'll just die and stop existing?
Know. That's too complicated. Way too complicated. But the one thing I do know is that the only time Dumbledore was wrong was when he thought he'd made a mistake. Thank you, Austin15 from Texas.
That was in an awkward moment. Kevin was on a roll there.
He was on a roll. Sorry. It doesn't only have to be an awkward moment. So I just thought it seemed like a nice time for it. I'm sorry, Kevin. Go on.
I'm good
this
time
now. Stuff is so complicated.
Yeah,
today.
I think we're gonna make everyone sick.
It doesn't matter though. It's gone pretty well.
Okay, should we skip out four?
We're going to cause a number of accidents.
I know.
People will be concentrating on time so much, they won't be concentrating on driving while listening to us, and they're just going to start hitting other
people. But then we can just go back in time and save
them. Oh, that's
we
true,
go back
yeah.
in time and not record the show, and then they'll be fine.
You're
so
right.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Okay, number five. Why is it so important that you are not seen when traveling back in time? And is it that you can't be seen at all, or just not by yourself? I actually saw a TV program a few years ago where you could go back in time and see yourself, but you couldn't touch yourself. And if you touched yourself, it caused like a universal paradox, and the entire universe exploded.
I think what it is, you can see your past self, and other people can see you, but your past self can't see your future. You know what I'm saying? Because like the trio all saw them their past selves whenever they went back, and obviously tons of other people saw Hermione's.
Yeah.
Multiple personalities wandering around the school.
I thought that they described some of the consequences. Wasn't it that, like, you can't predict what you...
You go mad, yeah.
You can't predict
And you see...
Yeah, well, that's one thing, but you can't really predict. For example, if Harry had seen himself prior to knowing there was a time turner, what is Harry going
He'd
to think?
He was his dad, maybe, again. Just like himself.
Either that or kill him.
Right, Jamie, what would you do if you saw yourself walk into a room?
I would challenge myself to an arm wrestle and then see who wins. That'd be awesome. Challenge myself to a fight.
Yeah, but see, the problem is that other people can look like you.
Yeah.
But
not identical.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, look at Moody. He was Moody. Everyone knew him as Moody. But he wasn't.
Yeah,
so if Harry saw
the
first thing he's going to assume is that it's someone disguised as, exactly, pull out his wand and try to kill him. So now you just killed yourself in the future.
I think he'd be a bit hasty to just kill him.
I don't know. I mean, you can't predict your reaction to seeing yourself.
Well, I mean, in Hermione's case, if she said the rule was, I'm not allowed to let the other version of myself see me, but if you know you have a time turner...
Maybe it's a little different then, but, I mean, Dumbledore continually said you can't be seen.
I guess that makes sense if people see two of you, because maybe the Ministry doesn't want anyone knowing who has time turners, because then, like, say, Malfoy could... If Malfoy...
Yeah, but can you imagine...
If Malfoy knew that Hermione had a time turner, Malfoy could get Hermione to maybe take him back in time to, you know, change something to cause some sort of damage.
Not even sure that Hermione could even... Even if you have a time turner, that you should be seeing your future self. Because what would Hermione have done if she'd seen herself rescuing someone that she thought was a criminal? Because obviously, if her past self had seen her future self saving Sirius Black, she would have been like, what was I thinking? Or I be thinking?
What if it's event specific? And think about the people that are involved. When it's going on during school hours, and most likely people know, that, at least among the teachers, that she's using it, there wouldn't be any cause for concern. But think of all the people that are involved in the situation when she goes back in time at the end of Prisoner of Azkaban.
Yeah, it's true.
Would you really want somebody like Snape seeing you? Would you want somebody Wormtail seeing you?
Because what use would you have for going back in time at that situation? And they're going to immediately assume that you're changing something for the better or for your own reasons. And I'm sure that's not going to fly with the Ministry. So I think it's just the repercussions of, you know, possibly changing things or seeing yourself out of context and doing something drastic.
I think our brains have all been appropriately twisted now.
If you aren't bleeding from the ears yet, you will be.
Well, for more on time...
For more on time, go to level 9 on MuggleNet, which I thought was pretty comprehensive, but after talking about it on the show, I realize it barely skims
Maybe
the surface. But still,
you should
there
provide
anyway.
A link on level 9 to this episode of MuggleCast.
I should. It is MuggleNet.com/level 9, I think. Let me just check that quickly.
Yeah, is 9
yeah,
spelled
slash
out,
level
or
nine.
Is it the letter?
It's spelled out. Guys, last week we tried to give Laura Mallory a call, and we asked if...
did we?
Maybe. Yeah, we did. And no answer. Got the voicemail, said your call is very important to us. Ben left a message, asked her to call us back, and no response. So...
Imagine
let's,
that.
You want to try giving her a call one more time and give her a call one more time and you know, see if she maybe answers this time?
Yeah, what, let's do it.
She's in Decatur? Decatur, Georgia?
Decatur.
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 Okay. One.
Decatur.
Her number is, for anyone at home who wants to give her a call.
Andrew, don't do that.
Now, you guys can't talk to her because we're on speakerphone. But she's not going to answer.
I would laugh if she did.
I know.
Shut up.
She's going to pick up. It's
Andrew.
Awkward.
Be nice.
Moment.
Kidding.
Okay.
Just be polite, whatever you do.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Oh, jeez.
For Mallory. Is not available. At the tone, please
this is a different number.
When you have finished
is that her
recording,
cell number?
You
yeah.
may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hi, Laura. This is Andrew Sims from MuggleCast. I just wanted to ask you a couple questions about your concerns with the Harry Potter series. You talked to my associate, Ben, last week. Well, he left a message on your phone at home. And he said, well, in your voicemail, it says that your call is very important to us, but unfortunately, we didn't get a call back. So we'd like to have a small interview with you on our show. Gets about 1 million listeners a week, so, you know, it'd be a big-time interview. So give me a call back. My number is 609-668. Thanks. Bye. Well,
not bad. That was not bad. Bad. Very professional. Very professional.
Very upsetting.
We have about 1 million listeners a week.
I want to make it a hot sell. You know what I'm saying? Now, Jamie, you weren't on the show last week, and we did had a little discussion about our time in California. Did you have anything to add?
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Well, I don't want to repeat what everyone else has said, but I'm sure the word awesome has come up a lot of times from what other people have said, and you'd all be right if you called it awesome. It was absolutely awesome. It was fantastic. And the leaky mug, sorry, not the leaky mug, I don't know what I'm talking about. The time at Santa Monica Beach was so good. I felt at peace with nature there, you know?
Yeah. Especially when you made contact with the water, I bet.
yeah, I did. Well, you see, what happened was, you know, people were going in left, right, and centre. John had gone in, Andrew had gone, you'd gone, and Ben just said to me, right, you're going in. Now, instead of arguing with him, and he is quite a bit bigger than me, so he could have just picked me up and thrown me in, and I'd have ruined my cell phone and everything. I just said, all right, Ben, I'm going in. So I took my phone out of my pocket, took my wallet out and all my bucks, man, and I put them down, and then Ben just picked me up and threw me into the water, and it was freezing, absolutely freezing. Yeah, it was awesome, absolutely awesome.
Yeah, so...
And the podcast awards were very cool as well. I felt very proud being there and picking up that award and the microphone
proud
and everything.
Proud and excited.
And very proud and excited. And there was a party going on all day with cake and, you know, and all day.
And I see.
Cake, and, but, cake and fruit punch.
Cake and fruit punch, yeah. And it was awesome. And the leaky mug went very well. It was great to meet everyone out there. And I actually got, thank you very much to the people who all got me Lucky Charms. I ended up with 5 boxes of them. So we
yeah,
had
did you,
that evening.
Did you get
the,
those on your plane? Did they allow all that stuff?
Yeah, I did. Well, we ate quite a few. You know, there and then, but I put the other ones in my suitcase, and I've still got some left over, which is quite cool. And thank you for all the other presents as well. And just LA is an amazing place, and I had a really really good time there. So thank you to everyone, and it was great
Didn't
to see
you meet
you guys
somebody.
As well.
Thanks.
So I meet
Didn't
somebody.
You meet somebody you've been waiting to meet for a long time at a Disney World?
No, I didn't meet him, did I? I didn't meet him. He was gone.
I only saw him once.
He was
and he
having
was,
a day
was
off.
Very busy. So,
huh?
You're talking about Mickey, Jamie?
You didn't meet him.
Yeah, we're talking about Mickey.
Yeah.
Are we talking about Mickey?
Yeah.
No, he. We did. Oh no! I think I waved at him, and he waved at me back. But to be fair, I was slightly disappointed. I was hoping for a hug, a handshake, and a
one other listener rebuttal we got this week goes from Ryan, 21 of State College, PA. He writes, Micah.
Yeah.
You seem to be one of the most active on this topic, so I figured I'd just send this one to you. Joe said there weren't executions, just studying death. Is it possible that the observers were studying ghosts that came out of the veil? Is the veil the gateway back to Earth if you choose to be a ghost? We're supposed to figure out more about the veil and more about how people become ghosts, so I figured it might be a connection. Also, check out the Onion Radio Network podcast. It might be suited to your humor. There's a plug for you. Signed, Ryan.
Well, I'll answer the second part about the gateway back to Earth. I think it would be more of a gateway to whatever afterlife there was. We talked about that on the last show, that if this ministry is built around the veil, and the veil is sort of the gateway to the underworld, maybe it's possible that those people's souls who don't go to the underworld, that they do come back through the veil. I don't know. It still wouldn't explain why the ghosts just can't, you know, pop on through the other side, and that no ghosts came through the veil at all while they were there. You know,
because they can't.
You think they're trapped?
No, I just don't think that it's like saying.
So basically, you're telling Ryan. No.
Okay, here's why I think that, though, because Nearly Headless Nick didn't know anything about the veil. If it were somewhere that ghosts came from, he would obviously know about it. He said that he didn't know anything about death or what came after it because he chose his feeble imitation of life instead.
Shut down, Ryan.
And I love the silence.
Shut down.
So hopefully we answered your question, Ryan. I don't think that anything can come back out through the veil once it's already behind there. And I think that's why they're studying it.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty sure they...
Okay, I don't have one, so I'll just say...
You never have one.
I would... No, I know. Well, I think I... Well,
it used to be a huge segment now.
Tell you, it's just I would tell you the joke about the pen, but you probably wouldn't get the point.
Oh!
that was good.
Okay, I need some new ones. I'll find some for next week. I'm sorry. I just feel like I've used them all already. I know that you can't really use every single joke in the world.
Especially in only 59 episodes with one joke a week.
Yeah,
specifically, on episode 3,
so. I think there are a few more than 59 jokes in the entire world. So
well, it doesn't matter, Jamie. They can't be jokes from the entire world. They have to be British jokes. Duh.
That's true. So there's only like 80.
Yeah, that's very true. And I do happen to know that there are only 59 jokes in all of Britain. So I'm going to have to go back and start repeating.
We'd like to remind everyone that if you'd like to send in a voicemail question to be aired on this show, make it a general question about the series, to contact us. Our P.O. Box is MuggleCast P.O. Box 223, Mount Ridge, Kansas, 67107. All that stuff is sent to Ben, and he forwards it all to us if it's for us. If you'd like to call us to leave those voicemail questions, if you're in the United States, you can dial 1-218-20-MAGIC, which is 1-218-20-62442. In the UK, you can dial 020-8144-0677. And if you're in Australia, you can dial 02-8003-5668. Speaking of Australia, no word yet if we picked up the Kids' Choice Awards for Fave Podcast.
Hundreds.
Yeah, hundreds. So,
oh, and
we'll have an update on that next week.
We should thank everyone for sending in the EA questions. We got a crap load
yes,
of them.
Thanks for sending in the EA questions. Kevin, tell us about all the EA questions.
I can tell you the most common question, if you want me to.
What?
I got it about 100 times. Is a new game open world, or is it requiring you to go through step by step?
Oh, okay.
Or you can fly around the whole world.
I think it's open world.
We shall see when they
just
answer.
Ask me. You can also Skype the name MuggleCast, leave a voicemail question, just keep your question under 30 seconds, and eliminate as much background noise as possible.
Keep it under 3 seconds from now.
Yeah. You can also email us. You can just use our first name at staff.mugglenet.com or use the feedback form on MuggleCast.com. We also have a new community section on the new community website. You can visit our MySpace, Facebook, YouTube group, Frapper group, or even the MuggleCast fan listing and forums at MuggleCastFan.
Basically, what he's trying to say is there are so many ways to contact us, you've got no excuse at all to get
everywhere.
Get writing, emailing, phoning, sending, mailing.
Yes. There's something else I was going to say.
I know what you're going to say. You're going to say,
Dumbledore does not speak parcel tongue. The snakes just speak English out of sheer terror. Actually, Michael 17 from Sydney said that.
Very good, Michael 17 of Sydney. So that does wrap up MuggleCast 59. We'll be back with 60, returning 60 next week. Once again, I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Jamie Lawrence.
I'm Kevin Steck.
I'm Laura Thompson.
And I'm Mike Danabell.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
This week we're going to have fun with a new segment, and we'll get back to all of our normal segments next week. We're calling it This Week in Steck. It's a ripoff of This Week in Tech, and we know it, but it just works so well that we have to do it. So, we want you guys to send in your technical questions, but Jamie's got a question for This Week in Steck this week that he hopes Kevin could answer for him. Is Jamie not here?
Sorry. So I think we just made this so I could get my computer problem solved, you know. I think that's it, Andrew. Okay, Kevin. Okay, I have a wireless network in my dorm, okay? And I get a perfect signal, okay, on my laptop. Perfect, excellent signal. But the internet keeps dropping. And it'll die, and then Google won't load, and then every other website will load in like eight minutes, and then it'll crash, and then AIM will crash, and then MSN won't load. Why is this when I've got a perfect signal?
Okay, where is the router located?
It is downstairs.
And where is, so it's passing through floors, I assume?
Yeah, but it's a perfect signal.
The thing is that all wireless signals run on a certain frequency.
Oh, okay.
So
I know it's
you're running on a 2.4 gigahertz frequency.
Yeah.
So anyone with a 2.4 gigahertz phone running on the same channel can
interfere. Should I change the channel then?
Yeah, actually, if you go to the lowest range, like channel 1 or channel 11, or the maximum range, it tends to help.
I know it's on channel 11 now, so shall I change to 1 and see what happens?
Yeah, try changing to 1 and see how it goes.
Thank you, Kevin. That concludes This Week in Steck this week. I will tell everyone next week if my wireless network is performing perfectly.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm sure it will.
That needs a second press. That was easy. It's too easy for Kevin Steck. What can't he answer?
I know.
Oh, Andrew, we have a rule in this house where you can't press the easy button unless something was easy.
Oh, really?
It's like a grave, violation of rules if you press it when something hasn't been
Is
easy.
Is it a hot item in your house?
Huh?
Is it a hot item in your house?
Yeah. Oh, you like, and any person who presses it has got to explain why they pressed it and why something was easy before that.
Oh, jeez.
It's awesome.
Best $5 I ever spent for you.
Oh, wow.